last year spoke about the idea Yishnichnas Adam Arvin B'Simcha. Tonight's Rosh Chodesh, today is Chodesh, and tonight is Aleph Adar. So we mentioned already last year that the Rebbe always said that Yishnichnas Adam Arvin B'Simcha means the word marvim, the connotation of marvim b'simcha means to have more simcha, to make the simcha more. But mashma, the connotation of that is that essentially we have the simcha all the time, and the other marvim b'simcha, you just make it more. And that's what the Rebbe explained, that the etzem, the simcha of other, the same simcha that there's the whole year. The same simcha that there's the whole year, that's. A Jew always has to be the simcha. The Torah b'leiv mishta tamid, a Jew always has to be the simcha. Other is marvim the simcha. That the same type of simcha that there is the whole year, then other is increased. We explained last year, what is the simcha, what is the ultimate simcha that a Jew has the whole year? So the verse from the Chidah, that the Chidah says, "Ushnei tmidim kilchasim." We said today in Musaf, and any time we ever daven Musaf, we say when we speak about the sacrifices, "Ushnei tmidim kilchasim," which the simple explanation, the translation of "Ushnei tmidim kilchasim," means that every day, besides the Musaf, you have to bring the two korbanis tmidim, the two tamids, the two tamids kilchasim. But the Chidah says that what Shnei Tmidim Kilchasim referring to? There's a sefer you all know, Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch teaches Zayir how to live. Shulchan Aruch is what our life is about. And particularly within Shulchan Aruch, the first of the four sections called Derech Chayim, the way of life, those are daily halachas. That teaches us the daily halachas, how to live our life, mamish things that are nege, that are relevant to every Jew every day. And the sefer Derech Chayim begins with the word Tamid, and ends with the word Tamid. Begins with the word Tamid, the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch, which is also the most important halacha in Shulchan Aruch, the halacha that the entire Shulchan Aruch is based on, and the halacha that it's not pshat, that the Rebbe said many times that you learn it and then you go to the other halachas and you forget about the first one. But the first one has to be brought with all the other halachas. The very first halacha in Shulchan Aruch is Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. That one always has God before it. What's the last halacha in Aruch Chaim? So you know that Aruch Chaim, after speaking about the laws of Shabbos, he then goes on to explain the different holidays of the year. The first holiday of the year, of course, is Pesach. Nisan is the first month of the year. And then Shavuos, and then the Tisha B'Av, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Chanukah, till finally, what's the last holiday of the year? Purim, Adar, the last month, Purim. And the last halacha in Purim is the halachas of Purim Katan. What do you do when it's a leap year and you have a Purim in the first other? There's a whole question, do you make a feast? Do you not make a feast? And so the Ramah rules the very end of Aruch Chaim, that this year it's not applicable, but when there is a leap year, so in Purim Katan we do make a feast, and then he quotes the verse from Mishlei, V'toiv lev mishtet tamid, and one with a joyous heart is always rejoicing. One with a happy heart, always rejoicing. Says the Chidah, Shnei Tmidim Kilchasam, Ishivisi Hashem Menegdi Tamid, that's the beginning, and Toiv Leiv Mishta Tamid. And the Avada, the connection, we all understand this, what's the connection of the Tamid, that God is always before me? The first halacha. And the Tamid, to always be happy, what's the connection? The connection is that what's the ultimate simcha of a Jew? What ensures that a Jew is always besimcha when shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid? And I said this story last year, and I'm going to say it again this year, and I can assure you, Mr. Hashem, I'll say it again next year, Mr. Mashiach will be here, he'll say it. But the story, I think, is the story of this idea of the Chidah. It was a Mashpi in Lubavitch called Reb Hendel. Hendel was a Mashpi in Lubavitch, a Chassid HaShiyid, daven every day for hours. And one day they came, they ran and they told him that his house is burning down. Now in those days there was no insurance. I'm not talking about like today, that even if you have insurance, you know, God knows if it's worth anything anymore. But in those days there was taka, no insurance. And if your house burned down, you lost everything. You were penniless. You never think to your name. And a pendle came and he was watching and his house and everything in it was burning down. and there was no way to save anything. They were just standing there watching. And all of a sudden, they thought Reb Handel started dancing. Started pushing dancing. He started singing Shalei Asani Goy. So they thought that, you know, that he lost his marbles. They thought it was, you know, time to bring those nice white men in the nice white clothing, put them in a nice white padded room. They thought that, you know, he's dancing Shalei Asani Goy. His whole life is burning down in front of his eyes. Finally, when he finished, so they said to him, you know, so he said, you know why I was dancing? Well, if I was a boy, then when my whole house burned down, my getchkas would also burn down. My getchkas, my idols, would have also burned down. It's the vinach b'chayid, I'm a Jew, and my God is the Eibishter, and the Eibishter cannot burn. You can't burn God. You can't burn Hashem. That's what he was dancing. What does that mean? You can't burn Hashem, that his idols would have burned down. Well, goyim have idols. Father, we're not talking necessarily about paganism, about having idols you bow down to. Getchkas, idols mean anything that's in this gashmizdika world that you think is the source of your happiness. When a person has things in the gashmizdika world, anything, whether it's money, whether it's a job, whether it's a car, whether it's anything, anything in the physical world, that a person thinks that that's the source of my happiness, that's a getchka. I bow down to that. And therefore that could be burned. And therefore you can't be assured that Toiv Lev Mishtatamin. Toiv Lev Mishtatamin means you're always besimcha. How can I always be besimcha? There are good days, there are bad days. There are Fridays and there are Mondays. There are days that things don't go so well. If my life is about God, the Eibishter mekenet burn, and you can't burn Hashem. And therefore Toiv Lev Mishtatamin. The simcha of the whole year of a Jew is the fact that Shivisi Hashem and Nebi Samad is my connection to the Eibishter is always and is absolute. Memeil of a Tevlaid Mishtatamad, memeil of the whole year I have sin. And understandably, therefore we understand, says the Rebbe, that Mishnichnis other Magim the simcha, it's not a different type of simcha. It's the same simcha that there is the whole year. No Magim, it's more. It's more concentrated, sharper, more stressed. Why? Because what's the whole Indian of Adar? The Nes of Purim. What's the Indian of the Nes of Purim? The Indian of the Nes of Purim is that God is in Shushan Abira, in Galus. It wasn't the Nes that happened in Eretz Yisrael. When Akati Abdid Achashverosh Anan, when we were still slaves to Achashverosh, we were in Galus. And when there's no supernatural phenomena, there are no miracles, it's a plain old Monday. And over there, the Eibishter shows that he's everything, that he's doing everything. That's why Adar, right, the Berditcher of Levi, the Berditcher said that Adar is Aleph, Dal. Aleph is Alufa Shalom, as the Eibishter, Dal, dwells with us. That's the Nes of Purim. The Simcha, the Nes of Purim, is Adar. Mishanichnas Adar, when you enter the world of Adar, which is Aleph Das, which is the realization and the Simcha, the joy that comes from the internalization of this idea of Aleph Das, that the Eibishter is in Shushan, that Shushan also is Elokus. That the Shivisi Hashem Negi Samet, so when you mention Nichnas Adar, then Ma'adim B'Simcha, then you have that joy that much more. That's essentially what we spoke about last year at this time, when we entered the month of Adar. I'd like to speak tonight a little more in detail. And that is, that's theoretically true, that the greatest Simcha is when a person lives with the Eibishter, Aleph Dar, that Aluf HaShalolam, the one Dar, lives with us. But how does a Jew come to that? Okay, that is the biggest simcha. That is the biggest simcha, if that is really what I get happy about. If that's my joy in life. If my joy in life is connecting to Hashem more than anything else in the physical world. But vikumim to them, how do you come to such a thing? And Chassidus says there's only one answer. There's only one way, and that's called Avedas HaTfila. Avedas HaTfila, davening. Davening in Chassidus, throughout Chassidus, so he says that davening is two things. Number one, it's the litmus test to see where a person's holding in ruchnis. It's the litmus test to see where your matzav is. How do I know, am I in a good matzav? Am I standing close to Elokus or am I distant? The litmus test to see how davening is going. How gishmak davening is. And number two, not only is it the litmus test, but more importantly, it's also the way to work on. It's not just a test. It could be a test, but it could also be used, number two, as a way to work on that relationship. It's the way, it's the time to get closer to Elokus. To make that my connection to Elokus is the fundamental aspect of my life. To make that other, that Aleph Dar, is my simcha. And that's why it's not an accident, Rebbe points out, that almost every year, Rosh Chodesh Adar comes out in Parshas Truma. Parshas Truma, the building of the Mishkan. The building of the Mishkan, you all know, wasn't just sticks and stones and goat skins and you know and oils and stuff like that. You all know, V'asu li migdash v'shachanti b'seicham, make me a Mishkan, a tabernacle, and I'll dwell in them, in the hearts of the Jewish people. The sticks and stones and trees and all these things of the Mishkan were in some powerful metaphysical way, the conduit through which God's light dwelled within us. V'shachanti b'seicham, within the hearts of the Jewish people. And memele, even though today we don't have a Beis HaMikdash b'gashmias, but the inyan of the Mishkan, the ruchnias dike inyan of what the Mishkan is supposed to do, we still have. It's not an accident that the inyan of tefillah became so important, especially in the times of Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, that they, so to speak, codified tefillah, the Shemayna Esrei, and they made it the obligatory, you know, Meir, there was a time it wasn't obligatory, it became obligatory with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, because tefillah takes the place of what the Mikdash, the Mishkan, is supposed to do. Tefillah, just like the Beis HaMikdash, through those physical items that were built in exactly this and this way, with that attention to detail that only Torah, only Judaism understands, the way that the Mishkan and the Mikdash brought about the revelation of God in everyone's heart, that's what tefillah is supposed to do. So therefore, I'd like tonight, in the spirit of Mishnichnas Adam Arben B'Simcha, and talk understanding that the real Simcha is to daven the way Chassidus says they were supposed to daven, the way that a Jew is supposed to daven, to come to a Skashus Elokus. The tefillah, you all know, tefillah only, it's a very, very shallow way of looking at davening. The davening is only the time that you're supposed to ask for stuff that you need, you know. Grandma needs a new pair of shoes and blow on the dice and, you know, open your siddur. Right? That's a very, very shallow, superficial way of looking at tefillah, even though that's a part of tefillah. And it's the mitzvah deraisa, and of course that's part of it. But the emes of tefillah is, a chassidus says, tefillah is, the word tefillah means connection. Like Leah said, naftula elikim naftolti and achisi gam yacholti. To connect. A kesher. A teifel kli charis, the Mishnah says, to connect two kelim is called a teifel, to connect. Tefillah is the time to connect Hashem. Like we said, it's not only the litmus test to see where a person's holding, but it's the time to talk or work on that connection. So what I'd like to do with you now for the next approximately 40 minutes is summarize a mimer, summarize actually an inyan that's found in Mamorim. In Samach Vav, in the Rebbe Rashab, there's a two Mamorim, Vayechi and Shmois. And those Mamorim of Vayechi and Shmois in Samach Vav are based on an earlier maimer of the Rebbe Shab called Va'asuli Migdash Tafish Nun Aleph, which is based on a maimer from his father, the Rebbe Marash, Re'ei Karasi B'Shem Betzalel, in Tafish Lamed Hei, which is based on a few lines in Derech Mitzvasecha, from Mitzamach Tzedek in Binyan HaMikdash, which is based on a maimer from the Mittler Rebbe in Teres Chaim, Va'asuli Migdash in Parshas Truma, which is based on a maimer from the Alter Rebbe, Re'ei Karasi B'Shem, from the Alter Rebbe. So really, it's from all the Rebbeim. This inyan that we're going to learn, we're going to summarize tonight, is from all the Rebbeim. The inyan that all the Rebbeim spoke about. I haven't found it exactly from the Rebbe and from the Friedrich Rebbe, but I'm sure they mentioned it someplace. Like this. So you understand that if we're saying that tefillah is supposed to do the same thing that the Mishkan did, of bringing down Elokus to me, so therefore the structure of tefillah is parallel to the structure of the Mishkan. Which is again why Parshas Truma, we always read Rosh Chodesh Adar. Truma, Parshas Truma has to teach us how to daven. So first let's discuss what was the structure of the Mishkan, or the Beis HaMikdash. You know, it was the same thing, just different measurements, but it was the same thing parallel. So the Zohar says that the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, had three main parts to it. There was the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, where the Olam, where the Ark of the Covenant was, that had in it the cherubs. After the Holy of Holies, there was a partition, there was a curtain, and then there was the room in front of the Holy of Holies called the Heichal. The Heichal means like the palace. What was in the Heichal? So facing where you guys are looking, so if this was the curtain to the Holy of Holies, so in the Heichal you had the menorah on the right side, in the menorah on the right side, and the shulchan, and in the middle, directly in front of the Aron, directly to the Aron was what? What was the thing in the middle? You had the menorah on one side, the shulchan, the table on the other. What did you have in the middle? We're actually going to read about it in Parshas Kitisa only. The Mizbeach HaZohov, the golden altar. The golden altar. That was the Heichal. Then you went outside the Heichal. In the Beis HaMikdash, there was the big building, there was the door, you went outside the door. And the Mishkan, as you went out of the structure that was covered with the goatskins. And then the third part is called the Chatzer. The Chatzer Oyel Mayit. The courtyard. And what was primarily, what was in the courtyard? No? The Mizbeach. The Mizbeach known as the Mizbeach HaChitzon. The outer altar. So there are actually two altars, two Mizbeachs. There was Mizbeach HaPnimi, the inner altar, the golden one in the Heichal, right in front of the Holy of Holies. And then in the Chatzer, outside there was another Mizbeach, the big one, the big Mizbeach. In the Zohar it says that these three sections of the Beis HaMikdash correspond to the three main sections of Seder Ishtalshus. And that is the Kodesh HaKadoshim corresponds to Atzmus Ein Sof, or Olamus Ein Sof Lufnei HaTzimtzum, the revelation of Hashem's essence. The Heichal, which had in it these three things, the Shulchan and the Menorah, and in the middle, you have three lines, corresponds to the world of Atzilus, where you know there are three kavim, there are three lines right, left, and center. And then, outside, the Chatzer corresponds to the lower worlds of Biyah. The worlds of Biyah, Briya, Tzira, Siya, which are worlds where there are created beings. That's corresponds, that's the Chatzer. Those are generally the three sections of Seder Shtalshulus, is Ein Sof, the essence of Hashem, that's Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then the world of Atzilus, where Hashem already contracted Himself into vessels, into the ten spheres. In other words, which is already still godliness, but already godliness contracted into vessels. And then finally, the three lower worlds of Briya, Tzira, Siya, where are worlds where there are created beings, that's outside, that's the Chatzer, that's where the altar is. Now, why did you need two Mizbeachs? Why did you have two altars? So, Pashat, let's talk Pashat in Nigla first of all. The Mizbeach HaChitzen, the outer altar, what was brought on that? Purim, Elam, and Kvasim. Animals. Animals. Cows and rams and lambs. Animals. The outer altar in the courtyard is where were brought animals. They were brought onto the Mizbeach and burned. Their blood was spread, was spritzed, and their bodies were burned on the Mizbeach outside there. The Mizbeach inside, the inner altar, the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the Mizbeach HaZov, the one that was in the Heichal, what was brought on that? Only Keteris, the incense. The Kohen would come and put the incense on coals, and the smoke and the radiance would come up. That was brought in the Mizbeach inside. There's a Lav Deraisa, it's one of the 613 commandments. One is not allowed to bring on the inner altar anything other than incense. No wine, no animals, just incense. However, there was a connection between the outer altar and the inner altar. What was that? Huh? Very good. The inner altar was, the incense was burnt on coals, on the gecholim. How do you make bring incense? You have burning coals, and on that you pour the powder of the incense. Those coals, those gecholim, were taken from the coals of the outer altar. In other words, after the animals were burned with the wood on the outer altar, those coals of the burnt up animals were then, the Kohen would take them in a shovel into the inner altar, and it was on those coals that the keteris, that the incense was burned. Listen carefully to all the details, because we're going to explain all of this is relevant to Davin. It was on those coals that came from the burnt of animals that the incense that the Keteris was brought. So it says like this in Chassidus. But also the Migdat Shachanti B'Seichem, that God dwells, where does that God dwell? In our hearts. And in our hearts, the Pasuk says, V'yached levaveinu la'avu liyashamecha. We daven to Hashem, we say before the Shema, V'yached levaveinu, that He should unify our heart. And Chassidus says, that the word levaveinu seemingly is strange because it has in it two bases. Seemingly in Hebrew it could say v'yached libeinu. V'tahar libeinu lav t'chavemes. Why does it say v'yached levaveinu? So Chassidus says because there are two parts to the heart. There's the chitzonius halev and pnimius halev. There's the outer part of the heart and the inner part of the heart. The outer part of the heart corresponds to the Mizbeach HaChitzon, to the outer altar. The Pnimius HaLev, the inner part of the heart, corresponds to the Mizbeach HaKeteris, to the inner altar. And V'yached LeVaveinu, to unite the two, is just like in the Beis HaMikdash. There was this unity of the outer altar with the inner altar. How? That the coals were taken from the outer altar, and on them is what the incense was brought. The coals were taken, and that's how you brought the Keteris. There's that unity of the two altars. So too, the Pnimius HaLev, the inner heart of a Jew, that works by unifying with the Chitzonius HaLev. That's V'yached LeVaveinu, uniting the two hearts, which are the two altars with it inside, just like in the Beis HaMikdash. So let's explain one thing at a time. What does that mean? So you all understand that just like in the Beis HaMikdash, what was the Seder? In the Beis HaMikdash, the Seder was that an Adam on the outer altar, an Adam would bring a Behema on the Mizbeach. The Adam would bring a Behema. And the Behema was, so to speak, taking an animal, which is taking the worlds of Biyah. Like we said that the outer courtyard is Biyah. The outer part of the Beis HaMikdash is Biyah, the lower worlds. The Mizbeach is Malchus Datzilus in Biyah. Mm-hmm. And taking the animal means taking those lower worlds. And I was, how did I make that the entire world, how did you bring godliness to China? Right, you all know that the Beis HaMikdash is called the head of the entire world. The light of the Beis HaMikdash is brought to the entire world. China gets uplifted, and Wisconsin even gets uplifted by what happens in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Chayyim Fetzich HaShayla, how does that help? How does that happen? By taking an animal, which is, so to speak, a representative of the outside world, which is connected to the worlds of Biyah, and bringing that on the altar, being makrivit as a carbon. So that's taking the Biyah, that's taking the physical world with it, and that ascends to Hashem. So too now, we have to have an Adam, a man, taking an animal, and bringing that as a sacrifice, and what's that? That's within us we have both a man and we have an animal. We have the Nefesh Elikis. The Nefesh Elikis, which is the divine soul, which is called an Adam, which is called a man. Adam ki yakriv mikem carbon min a behema. An Adam brings a carbon from a behema. Adam is the Nefesh Elikis, who's an Adam. Why is he an Adam? Just like an Adam, Ruach Adam Oil Lamaila. Nefesh Elikis only wants Hashem. He's propelled upwards. And he has to take a behema. Who's the behema? As not nice as this might sound, it's us. We're the behema also. Right, we're the behema. We have, everyone has within their behema. As it says in the Mamon of Basiligani, V'yoda inesh benafshe azer hatos. And everyone knows the type of behema that they have in them. You know, in Kunches HaTfila, the Rebbe Shop says, there are different types of animals. Like we mentioned, there's a goat, there's an ox, there's a sheep. So there are different levels of behemoths. So, you know, we're not Roman Catholic here. No one's going to confess to each other. But I'm sure everyone knows inside, some people have, you know, only little sheep. You know, nice little, it's an animal, but, you know, nice and calm. You know, I know some people like that. Not a lot. And then, of course, then you have the more stubborn ones, which are, you know, the goat. Some people have an Nefesh HaBehemoth, which is like a goat, which is much more stubborn. And then you have those that are mamash a cow. that are mamish. I don't know, so that we'll leave for Brengen to discuss more in detail. So memela the avoda is to bring that the nefesh alikis has to bring the nefesh bahamas as a sacrifice, and that's the avoda of psuki de zimra and kriyashma in davening. The outer part of the Beis HaMikdash, which is the Chatzar, which is Biyah, which is the represents the part of davening, the Chatzar, the third, the outer part of davening, is Psuki Dezimra and Kriyashma. And that's the part of davening where the Nefesh HaLikis has to rectify the Nefesh HaBahamas. Where the divine soul has to rectify, has to cause the animal soul to come to a closer to God. Now you understand, why is it called the outer altar, Chitzoin Yisalev, the outer part of the heart? So I'll give you a mashal. Imagine you have a mother that comes with her, you know, she's sporting a little 4-year-old son. It's time for, you know, he's been weaned. It's time to take him to learn Torah. She's all excited. She wants him to learn. Of course, she's a mother. She's a Jewish mother. She wants only the best for her son. So she comes to the yeshiva campus and she sees that there's a cheder where the malamed teaches, you know, Aleph Beis and stuff, and then there's upper grades with Chumash and Rashi, and then there's Reb, and then there's Talmud Torah, and then there's the yeshiva gedola, and then there's finally the Rosh Yeshiva's shir. So this mother says, I want the best for my son. So where does she take him? To Rosh Yeshiva's shir. Savadish, that's foolish. Why? It's talk of the highest shir. But he ain't going to understand the word. He's not going to be able to relate to it. It's completely beyond him. So to Chassida says, to affect the animal soul, you can't meditate on highest levels of godliness. You can't only meditate on the highest levels of Hashem. The divine soul essentially wants to be unified with the infinite light of Hashem. The animal soul can't relate to the levels, the highest transcendent levels of God's light that the divine soul relates to. And therefore, the first Psuke de Zimra and Kriyashma is to discuss, is to think about, meditate on things that the animal soul should be able to relate to. And it's tackle lower levels of godliness, chitzonius, the outer levels of God's light. Because those are the only levels that are going to have an effect on the animal soul. Now, why do you need to have both Psuke de Zimra and Kriyashma? And again, these are both the outer courtyard, so to speak. So the Gemara says in Yuma, "Afal pi she'esh yored min ha-shamayim, mitzvah lahavi min ha-hedyot." The Gemara says in Yuma. The Gemara, so to speak, asks almost like a question. The pasuk says, the pasuk in Chumash, that v'nosnu bnei ha-harein ha-eitz al ha-maravu, that the kohanim would have to bring wood onto the Mizbeach, and light the fire, light the wood on the Mizbeach, light the fire. So the Gemara in Yuma asks, or implied, the question is implied, L'chayr we know that in the Mizbeach, the outer altar, Eish would be Yerid Min HaShemayim. Fire would come down from heaven. It was in the form of a lion. Ariyeh Dachal Korban, it says, Chazal said that the fire that came down from heaven was in the form of a lion. And that fire would come down from heaven, and that would eat up the sacrifice, would eat up the animal that was being sacrificed. So why did the Kohanim have to bring wood? Why did you have to bring Eish Hedyot? Eish Shalamata? Why did you have to bring lowly, regular, mundane fire? So the Gemara says, Afal pi she'esh yored min ha-shamayim, mitzvah lahavi min ha-hedyot. Even though fire would come down from heaven, there's still a mitzvah to bring lowly, mundane fire also, that the kohen should also bring. So therefore we understand that the animal that was brought on the altar was actually consumed by two types of fire. It began being consumed by eshel hedyot, by lowly regular fire, eshel amata, lowly fire, and then it was completely consumed after it was first regular, mundane, earthly fire began burning the sacrifice. Then, the completion was a fire would come down from heaven, and that would completely consume the animal. So Chassidus says that that's the difference between Psuke de Zimra and Kriya Shema. Psuke de Zimra and Kriya Shema. Psuke de Zimra is the Eish Shalamata. Psuke de Zimra is the regular earthly fire. And Kriya Shema is the Eish Shalamayla, is the heavenly fire. What's the difference? So in Chassidus it says like this. The Nefesh Alikis has to do two things. First of all, like the child that's first beginning to learn, first you have to teach the child mamish things that are on its level. You have to teach it things that mamish the child should be able to relate to. But then, if the child is only learning things at its level, so then it will not be completely, he won't be overwhelmed. He'll remain a child. Eventually, after you've taught the child everything that he knows, that he can understand on his level, then you have to introduce to him much higher and deeper things that he should want to go higher. You know, the Rabbi Yoel Kahn, who's the foremost teacher of Chassidus today and for many decades already, so once he was by the Rebbe in Yechidus, so the Rebbe told him, and this is b'chal, an interesting thing in education, the Rebbe told him that whenever you give a class to Balabatim, whenever you teach Balabatim to Chassidus, whenever you teach Chassidus, always there should be one thing in the class that everyone doesn't understand. Everything should be understood, but there should always be one detail leave that they shouldn't understand. Why? They should know that there's more. So there's more. There's more to grow. There's something higher. So the Nefesh Alikis, it's not enough that it just gives the Nefesh of Hamas things that it should be able to relate to. It has to also raise its eyes and make that it should be consumed in a heavenly fire. And therefore you understand that what's Psuke de Zimra? Psuke de Zimra is teaching the Nefesh of Hamas things that it can mamash relate to. And what's that? Gidulas Hashem bebriyas ha'olamos. The chitzenis of Elokus, the lowest level of God's light. What's that? The gedulas Hashem bebriyas ha'olamos, the greatness of God, God's light as a created world. In the language of Chassidus, Mimale Kolam, the permeating light of God, the light of God that permeates the reality that we see. And that means Pasha, to contemplate the world, which is what Psuke de Zimra talks about. What's talked about in Psuke de Zimra? Heharen v'chol gvois, Eitz pri v'chol arozim, Hachai v'chol behema, Yomis v'tzipor kanav, mountains and hills, trees and all the cedars, birds, the birds and creepy crawler creatures. Right? Eitz pri v'chol remes v'tzipor kanav, remes is creepy crawler creatures. Ants. Now this is one of those things. If you understand davening just like according to Nigla without Chassidus, if you understand davening in just a superficial way, that's just that, you know, grandma needs a new pair of shoes. So what's with the ants? What's with the birds? You know, what's with the mountains and the hills? Okay, so I just, you know, say, God, please, could you please give me money? What if the thing about mountains and hills? Why is that the outer courtyard, the beginning of approaching Hashem, Psuke de Zimra? All the sun and the moon and all the stars, the world, speaking of God vis-a-vis the world. Now you remember we mentioned this 2 weeks ago, those of you that were here, that when we speak about God's light in the world vis-a-vis God, that's b'chal, you're not complimenting him. That's like saying that Bill Gates is so rich that he could afford oranges. That you haven't understood Bill Gates, you know, richness. It's like saying that a father is very strong because he could beat his son in arm wrestling. His 4-year-old son. God's light in the world is nothing. His kind purpose is a ray of his light. But like Darizel says, that the light of God that permeates the reality that we see, compared to him, what he really is like one drop of water on the finger compared to all the water in the ocean. So why are we praising God about the sun and the stars? All these things are mamash nothing compared to them. They're not even a speck of dust. You don't even have to be religious. Go to a planetarium. You go into a planetarium and they show you how the Milky Way, which is, you know, millions of or billions of light years, is a speck of dust in the universe. So what are you praising God about ants? And mountains and hills? And the answer is because the 4-year-old, you have to teach him something that he can relate to. Our animal soul, what's the animal soul? In chapter 29 of Tani, the author says the animal soul is my conscious self. That's the animal soul. The godly soul is that part of me that's, you know, trying to somehow, you know, conquer me and that I should do right things. But the, you know, the regular old me that I'm aware of, that's my animal soul. That's my conscious self. And what do I see? I see the world. When I think of beauty, what do I think of? I think of a beautiful sunset. I think of the ocean. I think of things in this world. That's things that I see. So the first meditation, the Esha, Lamata, the mundane fire, the lowly fire that you have to bring to start burning the animal soul, is to understand and to meditate how everything in the world that you see is God's light. Taka, a very, very contracted, infinitesimal, itsy bitsy, teeny weeny drop of God's light. These billions of light years called the universe, it's not even a speck of dust compared to what God really is. But it's this light that the animal soul, that my conscious self, could relate to. And therefore, Psukhet Dizim, which is the mundane fire, the first step of davening, is to meditate how everything that I've ever seen beautiful in the world is God's light, that is the light of Hashem. The mountains and the hills, and to meditate that every single, what is Remes V'tzipor Kanof? Remes, we say Remes V'tzipor Kanof, creepy crawly creatures and birds. Meditate how many ants are there in the world. How many different insects are there in the world. And each one is another ray of God's light that every single moment He's emanating. He's emanating His light to become every single ant in the world and every single flower in the world. So the botanists, their biologists don't even know how many species of animals and how many species of flowers there are. How many different types of rocks there are. Each rock is another emanation of God's light that right now, every moment, He's emanating into existence. Every single rock in the world. Marabu Masecha Havaya, how manifest, how multifaceted is your works, Hashem? How many different details there are in the world? So you'll say, well, that's complimenting God, and that's complimenting God. The point of here is not contemplating, but complimenting God. The point is that you should be able to relate to it. That your animal soul, the part of God's life that your animal soul could see. And that makes that's the mundane fire that your animal soul can relate to. In other words, you meditate that your children, that until now you've understood that your children you've seen as a gift from God. God sent them to you, Federal Express, a gift from Him. Chassidus says that you have to meditate, Mamalei Kol Almin, is you have to meditate your children, not just as a gift that God sent you from way up there. Your child, your children are emanations of God's light right now. Every breath they take, Kol Neshama Tahal Ka Aleluka, Chazal say, Al Kol Neshima, and every breath you have to praise God, because every breath they take is another manifestation of God's light. That's Psukhet Dizim. That's the mundane light that the animal soul should be able to relate to. I want to just tell you quickly, it's a little parenthetical. This obviously doesn't say in the Maimer, but I think you'll appreciate the idea. I was once teaching in Kfar Chabad. In Kfar Chabad, in Beis Rivka, so they have over there what's called continued education courses. Continued education courses means... could you open the window up a little bit? I'm sorry. Continued education courses means that in the summer they have classes for people that, you know, for teachers, people that are teachers already, that want to... Thank you very much. Oh, perfect. They want to get from the Ministry of Education, they want their salaries to get higher, so if teachers take in the summer courses, they... So, Kfar Chabad happens to be very close to Bnei Brak, and when it comes to money, all of a sudden everyone's, you know, we're all friends. So in the summer, a lot of women teachers from Bnei Brak, you know, come to Kfar Chabad to take courses, to take courses, to get more credits, whatever. So a couple of summers I taught there in the summer. And a couple of years ago I was giving a course in Davening Korn Chassidus. And I was explaining this point. Now there happened to be in my class there were a few women from Bnei Brak, and especially there was one particular young lady who was, you know, we could see came from a very virulently, you know, Hasidically challenged home. And she was challenging me all along the way. And at one point in the class, I was explaining this idea in Davin, and I was explaining the idea that Chassidus says that in order to really affect your animal soul, you have to have first the mundane fire, which is to meditate on the light of Hashem within the world, that contracted, constricted light of God that permeates the world, and to meditate that not only do your children are they presents from God that He sent you, Federal Express, but that your children are actually manifestations of His light. And that'll actually cause the animal soul to be connected to Hashem. So this woman raised her hand, you know, and I right away broke out in a cold sweat. So she says to me, she says, listen, Rabbi, in Hebrew, whatever, she says, Rabbi, I don't understand, what are you talking about? Let's say, pretend I never learned Chassidus. You know, I was trying to say that if you have to learn Chassidus to understand it more in detail, to understand this idea, I mean, this is just the general idea, but Chassidus explains it in detail. She says to me, let's say I never learned Chassidus. Let's say I just knew, like, according to Nigla, that I know that God sent me my children as presents. That's not a cause for me to love Him. That's not a cause that I should, my conscious self is going to appreciate God. I know that He sent me my children. I have to actually meditate how His light contracts and becomes my children. So the Eibur of Gehelfin, and God helped me, and He put in my head the answer. And I said to her like this. And obviously, I had to be careful. You know, this woman from Bnei Brak are, you know, pretty ultra orthodox, pretty charedi. So I had to be careful how I said it, but I think you'll all get the point also. I said to her, let me ask you a question. I said to her, tell me, you're married? She said, yeah. I said, let me ask you a question. I could see, by the way, she was also recently married. She was a younger woman. Let me ask you a question. Let's say, I don't know how much your husband, you know, what type of living he makes now. Let's say your husband got an offer, an unbelievable job offer in Alaska. Alaska. He was offered to get $400,000 a year. But on one condition. He lives there 20 years straight by himself. You can't go and you can never see him. However, he'll be allowed to speak to you on the phone every day for 3 hours. And he'll send you $350 of the $400,000 he'll send you. And he'll speak to you on the phone every day for 3 hours. But I don't know if now you speak to him 3 hours a day. And every day. And he'll send you gifts. He'll send you stuff. He'll send you $300,000. Would you be willing to do it? So obviously the answer is no. Why not? You're getting stuff from your husband. He's sending you stuff, a lot of good stuff, and you're speaking to him on the phone. So everyone understands what the answer is. Kirvas Elokim li toiv. The closeness of Elokus is what's good. When he's close to you. Not that he's up there in the wobbly yonder sending you stuff. When you meditate how he's close to you. So therefore, the law, the mundane fire that's going to make the Nefesh Bahamas, the original fire, is Psuke de Zimra, being misbehaving how his light is within the worlds. But then we said that the animal in the Mizbeach was then consumed by an Eisha Lamayla, by a heavenly fire that would come down from above and completely consume the animal. So that Chassidus says, that's the Ava of the Nefesh Likis. Reshafer Rishpe Eishal Heveska. The fire of the love of the Nefesh Likis is a shalheviska, is a flame of God. In Kriyashma, you have to be ma'ayra, the Ava, the love of the Nefesh Likis, and the love of the Nefesh Likis and the chuka, and the desire of the Nefesh Likis is a much stronger desire than Nefesh Bahamas. It's a much more powerful fire. It's still a chuka, it's still a desire, which is still implying that the Nefesh Likis is still not yet one with God, because you don't desire after something you're one with. It's still from a distance, but it's the desire, it's arousing the love of the Nefesh Likis, the Av of the Nefesh Likis, and when the Nefesh Likis has a very revealed love, that completely consumes the animal soul. And from what comes the Av of the Nefesh Likis? So that Chassidus says, the Av of the Nefesh Likis comes from his Beinonus in Yichudi Ilah. That's Kriyashma. Kriyashma is Yichudi Ilah, the higher level unity of Shem. The higher level unity of Hashem is the Inyan of Havaya Echad, Havaya Lekeinu, Havaya Echad, the oneness of God, which is to realize that only Hashem exists. Until now, in Psukei Dezimra, we were meditating on how His light contracts to become the worlds. In Kriyashma, the Hizboinus that really on the Nefesh Likis could really have a deep perception of this, the Hizboinus of Kriyashma is not how His light is contracting to create the world, but really how only He exists. What does that mean? How do you picture that? So let's explain the Chassidus is like this. You have to mamash picture this with your mind. I told you many times that the Friedeker Rebbe says that to understand Chassidus you have to use your imagination. We spoke about this a few weeks ago. If you picture with your mind, picture one ray of the sun coming from the sun. Now, one ray of the sun vis-a-vis the sun is like one drop of water vis-a-vis the ocean. It's almost nothing of what the sun really is. Right? That's if you meditate that the light of God that's in the world, that becomes the world, vis-a-vis His essence, infinite light, is like one ray of the sun vis-a-vis the sun. Now, listen carefully. That we see the worlds, and we see all that we see, is because it seems to us that the light of Hashem left His essence and became the world. Just like, when do you see the ray of the sun? Only when it left the sun. Then you could see a ray. When the ray is still in the sun, could you see a ray? It's there. But could you see it? It's just one, it's completely part of the sun. So the Nefesh HaLikis meditates as follows. Even though Tzimtzum made, the first step of creation is Tzimtzum. And Tzimtzum made that we don't feel His infinite light. He made that His infinite light or Ein Sof should not be felt. That was the first step of creation, a complete concealment of His infinite light. And then He reintroduced that itsy bitsy teeny weeny ray of His light which brings about all the worlds. But really, we're within His infinite light now. Really, Havaya Echad, what does it say even in Shulchan Aruch, it's brought? What does Echad mean? That Dalet is the four directions, and Ches is up and down, the seven heavens and the earth, are all nullified to the Aleph. Really, if you picture the light, the finite light of Hashem that permeates everything, every ant, and every tree, and every flower, and everything that you see, that finite light is really within His infinite light. Because His infinite light is where we're sitting right now. And the Nefesh HaLikis then meditates in Kriya Shema, the exact opposite of Psukah D'Zim. Psukah D'Zim was meditating how His light contracts to become the world. Kriya Shema Havaya Echad is the exact opposite. That the Nefesh HaLikis then meditates are really Einoid Mavade, literally nothing exists other than Him, because the light that is all the worlds is really Nichlo, is really included within His infinite light, like the ray of the sun within the sun. And therefore the Nefesh HaLikis comes to an unbelievable Ava, an unbelievable desire to become one with that light. And that fire, that love, that desire of the Nefesh HaLikis completely consumes the animal soul. Again, it's not something that the animal soul could mamash relate to, because the animal soul exists. The animal soul, the divine soul, wants to become absorbed in that reality, that truth of the infinite light. But the animal soul wants to continue existing. The animal soul is not going to, you know, doesn't want to stop and become absorbed in the infinite light of Hashem. But when you're able to reveal the divine soul, that part of you, that neshama, that every Jew has that really wants to be in that infinite light, and you reveal that Ava, that consumes the Nefesh HaBahamas also. That's Psuk D'Zimra and Kriya Shema. The second part of davening, it says in Chassidus, is Emes V'Yatsif. Emes, you after Kriya Shema, you then have 15 Vavs. Emes V'Yatsif V'Nochin V'Kayim V'Yosher V'Neman. 15 Vavs. The 15 Vav, Vav, you know, is a letter that represents connection. That represents bringing one thing to the next. And in the, we say Friday night in the Zamer B'Shvachim, B'Vavim Tiskatar, Vavs make the connection. Emes V'Yatsiv is that part of the, like in the Beis HaMikdash, you then take the coals and you bring the Ketores. You take the coals from the outer altar, those animals that were burned up and became coals, you take them and you bring them now into the inner altar, into the Mizbeach HaZal. That's the second part of the davening of Emes V'Yatsiv, which is that now that the animal soul has been consumed, now the divine soul is able to ride on that wave and come to the Aved of Keteris. Now, what's the V'Yachid of Avenu? Why did the divine soul descend to this world? The divine soul, the Nefesh HaLikis, didn't need to be rectified. The divine soul is divine. The divine soul comes from the world of Atzilus. It's divine. It didn't need to be rectified. But the divine soul wants to become mamish one with Hashem's essence. So in the language of the Zohar, Lishtova Begufa de Malka, to become included in the body of the king, to become mamish one with Atzmus. which is what Shmeina Esrei is. So how does it do? How does it, the Yerida L'Tzercholiyah? How does it do that? By the divine soul making the animal soul become consumed. So then, Emes V'Yatsev, the 15 vavs represents the taking of the coals of the animal soul, and through that, the divine soul coming to a higher level of connection to Hashem. And therefore, the bringing of the coals from the outer altar to the inner altar—that's the 15 vavs of Emes V'Yatsev. That's the V'Yachad L'Vavenu. That's the taking, the riding on the wave of the animal soul being consumed that allow the divine soul to come to a higher level. Until finally, the third part of davening, which is Shmeina Esrei, which represents the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's why in the Beis HaMikdash, the Ktoiras, the incense, as we said before, the Mizbech HaZav, is mamish in the Heichal, mamish directly in front of the Aron, in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's the part of davening of Shmeina Esrei. In Shmeina Esrei, the Avod is not Ava, is not love of Hashem. The Nefesh HaLikis aroused the Ava, that was in Pesud Gezim and Kriyashma, to burn up the Nefesh HaBahamas. But then through that it comes, through the 15 Vavs of Emes V'Yatsiv, it comes to Shmona Esrei. The Avod of Shmona Esrei is not Ava, it's Tzveikus. It's cleaving, it's actually becoming one with the infinite essence of Hashem. Ava, love, desire, implies that you're still separate. That's the Avod of Kriyashma, to want to become one with the infinite life. Shmona Esrei is after you brought the coals, the schar, so to speak, of the divine soul after rectifying the animal soul. That then you bring the keteris. The word keteris, what does keteris mean? Kesher. That's the word keteris means. Ketar means to be tied. That makes that the divine soul Shmona Esrei actually becomes one with the body of the king. Now it becomes one with Atzmus. And that's why there's a beautiful idea. It says in Chassidus. You might remember in the Book of Kings, in Sefer Melachim. In Sefer Melachim, when it speaks about Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaNavi had an unbelievably deep, beautiful vision. Eliyahu HaNavi was brought to Har Sinai. And he was very angry about the Jewish people, etc. And he had an unbelievable vision. In Sefer Melachim, I think Paragid Beis, what vision did Eliyahu HaNavi have? So it says there that there was a rash. There was an earthquake. V'lai b'rash havaya. Yet God was not in the earthquake. He was not in the noise of the earthquake. V'achay harash eish. After the earthquake, he then saw fire. V'lai b'eish havaya. And God was not in the fire. V'achay ha'eish kol d'mama daka. And after the fire was a thin, still, small voice. And the Zohar says, Toman ka'osi malka. And that's where the king was. So Chassidus says that those three levels represents the three parts of davening we just said. First, there's the rash, the noise of Psukei Dezimra. Psukei Dezimra is you have to sing with a niggun. Psukei Dezimra you have to say out loud. You have to scream it, but you have to say it out loud. The Nefesh HaBahamas should be involved. You have to have a revealed love. You have to have a noise that the Nefesh HaBahamas should get excited about God. Taki get excited about lower levels of God's light, but get excited about Hashem. Think about things in the world that you've seen before. Get it excited. Loi v'rash Havaya. Havaya himself is not in that fire. As long as you're still making a lot of noise and jumping around, you haven't become one with Havaya. Because to become one with Havaya, to become one with Atzmus, you have to be completely nullified. You have to have the still small voice. But first you have to have the rash of Psugi Dezimra. Abuvalay Barash Havaya. Then comes the Eish, the fire. And that's Kriyashma. Kriyashma is the fire of the love of the divine soul. That the divine soul meditates in the higher levels of Hashem's light of Aryan soul. How all the worlds are nothing compared to him, and that all the worlds are nullified within his infinite light. And that's the love, that's the fiery love of the divine soul. But still it's a love. It's a feeling. A feeling still means that you're not completely nullified to him. You're not the dvekus. You haven't been nullified. You're still having a feeling of love. That's Kriyashma. And then finally you come to the inner altar, to the Keteris. The Keteris is the highest level, is bringing the incense, is the actual Kesher. And the Keteris goes into the Holy of Holies. That's called the Mama Daka, the still small voice of Shmona Esrei. Shmona Esrei is mamash when you become, it's not an inin of Ava, it's an inin of Dveikus, of actually becoming Lashtova, Begufa Demaka, becoming united with the body of the king. And there, that's where the Nefesh HaLikis is actually becomes one with Hashem, the still small voice, and it doesn't have a separate existence from God, which is why you have to begin, Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, God, you open my lips, because you become so one with God that you don't have a separate entity. Shemoneh Esrei is not a time to be feeling love, not a time to be feeling fear. Shemoneh Esrei is a time to be feeling that one is completely like a daimon, ke'evan daimamti, like a rock that's an inanimate object, that's just completely one with Hashem. Ad kadei kach that Hashem opens your lips and you say the words. And that level, the Nefesh HaLikis, the Keteres, that level the Nefesh HaLikis comes to through it first rectifying the animal soul. And then we come, we open our eyes, and then we bring that to an even higher level. What could be even higher than that? Taking that Dveikus that the Nefesh HaLikis had in Shemoneh Esrei and Mibeis HaKnesses, Libeis HaMedrash. Then seeing it in a blood gemara. And then, hanig ben minig derech eretz, and then to go work, to go to your office place, and to bring that same connection, to try to bring it down, bedir bitachtenim, which is the purpose of the world, to have other, to have the aleph dar, to have Hashem dwell with you the whole day. And you all understand that if you have a davening like that, the day goes differently. The way the day goes is based on how davening goes in the morning. And therefore then you have the simcha of the connection to Hashem the whole day by making dira tachtenim. And by mitzvah Hashem, we're working on Vedas HaTefillah and having this simcha of Hashem, we should be zeicha to the time where we won't have to struggle to have this bainus, but we'll feel openly, we'll feel how Tomon Kasi Malka, the King has come, how we're one with Him, that we should be one flesh with Atzmus Mamash, zeicha to it tonight, mitzvah Hashem.